Prayer is a battle. There's no doubt about it. Prayer is a battle because of things going on inside each one of us. Prayer is a battle because of things going on inside other people and around other people. And prayer is a battle because there's more in this world than meets the eye, and there are hostile spiritual forces determined that we Christians should not use the power of prayer which God has made available. It's the second two things I want to look at tonight. The other is coming up later in the series. I want to think first of all about us sharing in the sufferings and the problems of others and how that makes prayer a battle for us. And the passage I'd like to look at is the second lesson, Hebrews 5, page 205 in the New Testament. The theme of this passage is the high priest. Not an idea we're used to today, but in the time of the Jews, that meant a lot. The high priest is somebody who was responsible for the people spiritually. And in the New Testament, we're shown that Jesus is the high priest. He is the one human being who made himself fully responsible for all the problems of the human race. But the New Testament also teaches something which is described in church language as the priesthood of all believers, which is really saying that every one of us Christians has got a share in the job of being a priest, that is, being responsible for other people. And that spiritual responsibility, which every one of us carries, includes prayer. What this passage tells us, if we look in verse 7, is that in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Why? Why did Jesus have to pray with loud cries? Why tears? It was the extent of the burden, the pain, the agony that he was carrying when he prayed. He was taking the responsibility for the human race, its deepest problems, including its guilt. That involved the cross. That's one of the reasons Jesus prayed like that. But his whole life was a bearing of others' burdens to his Father. And that drove him to pray with agony and with loud cries and with tears. We read elsewhere in the New Testament that we are to carry one another's burdens. It's one of the most beautiful and simple ideas of the New Testament. Carry one another's burdens. That doesn't just mean carrying the shopping. It doesn't just mean sympathizing. It's something deeper than that. It means empathizing, that is, feeling in ourselves what another person is feeling, as if we were in their position. That is carrying the responsibility to God on their behalf. Just before Christmas, a close friend of mine who's a curate, a preacher, was taken into hospital for an operation, and I prayed sincerely, as any one of us would, if any friend of ours was taken into hospital. He came out again and he seemed to be recovering slowly, but 2 weeks ago he was rushed back in. Again, it didn't seem to be too much of a crisis, but I was contacted and I prayed sincerely. A few days later, I got the message that if he lived to the weekend, then he would survive, hopefully. The next day, I carried on me an invisible burden. That's the only way I can describe it. At any free moment I did have, that there wasn't something else to do, I consciously just shut myself up and prayed. And all through the day, even when I was doing other things, there was a sort of feeling deep down inside. Whenever I stopped and asked myself, why have I got this feeling? Straight away it came back. You all know that experience. But it was an experience which drove me to pray, to cry out to God with loud cries. I prayed now more than sincerely. I prayed almost as though it was happening to me. Even more amazingly, during the course of this day, I began to feel more and more ill myself until by the evening, I really was feeling quite rough. And the whole thing was a concentrated experience of carrying the burden of another with loud cries and tears. And it was exciting for me that God not only gave me such a direct experience of carrying a burden, but when I made contact, I was told that it was on that day that my friend took a remarkable turn for the better and from then on has recovered steadily. God spoke deeply. That was wrestling over a spiritual and a physical issue. I think any one of us can understand how we can get caught up in wrestling for a physical issue like that. What about the spiritual? A few months ago, I was at a Christian run house party with many teenagers who were not Christians, including members from our own clubhouse. One day I was walking back to the house, you can picture it now, through the pine trees, and this same experience of an invisible burden came down on top of me. Just the same as when my friend I described was ill and I had that burden. This time there was nothing physically wrong with the person I was concerned for. It was one of our teenagers. But I felt a most amazing agony. And all I could do was to just stop where I was and pray with loud cries to God and cry out that God would break through and speak to this person and help him become a Christian. When I sort of came back and had energy again to go back to the house, I did, and I talked with one of the leaders, a friend of mine, who said to me that he'd just been talking with the guy I'd been praying for in such a sense of pressure, and that this guy had just gone off to pray and accept Christ. And again, I had that sense of carrying within myself the struggle that was going on in somebody else. Now, I would be dishonest to give the impression that this is my normal experience in prayer. But I am sure that these two experiences are modeled experiences which God has given to me to teach me something of what the struggle is of prayer is all about. And even when a situation is not as crystal clear and dramatic, that is what is going on the whole time as we offer ourselves to God to carry one another's burdens. And of course, we don't always see the results as clearly. These are examples where I can point to results. That's not always true either. But the same experience is going on. I wouldn't be at all surprised if somebody had been particularly praying for me as a minister to be able to carry other people's burdens. Because prayer is like this. It's a constantly identifying with somebody else's need, feeling their struggles and lifting it to God. I know there are friends who carry that struggle that I have as a minister to God in their prayers. The struggle to keep praying. I don't find it any easier than anybody else. This is the wonder of prayer, as we carry one another's burdens, that it's always spilling over in blessings to other people. And I believe that every single one of us is called to carry the burdens of other Christians in prayer. It goes throughout the New Testament. And it is what is meant partly by being priests. Each one of us is a priest, carrying others in prayer to our Father. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle to be that committed to other people, if we're honest. And it's a struggle because to really pray for others, we have to feel something of what they are experiencing. And that makes prayer a struggle. That's the first reason. And the second reason why prayer is a struggle, which we're looking at tonight, I want to change passages and go to Ephesians 6, working back through the Bibles to page 184. Ephesians 6, 10. Because this is the passage that describes more clearly than any other in the New Testament how Satan is opposing all of God's work, and how prayer is the key to opposing him. I'm not going to read it all, but I'll just read verse 10 and then fill in the gap and jump on to another key verse. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, I must read one more. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then Paul goes on to describe how in the light of this spiritual battle that every single one of us is involved in as a Christian, we should arm ourselves spiritually. And he describes in picture language how we should put on all sorts of armor. Having armed ourselves, he then tells us what to do. Is it to go out and preach? Is it to go out and give, or to become a missionary, or to do a job? Why do we have to arm ourselves? What's the first thing we have to do when we have armed ourselves? Verse 18, pray. Pray at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, and so on. Paul knows that prayer is going to be a battle. And unless we treat it like this, we're not going to experience what it means to really pray. Unless we realize that we are opposing spiritual forces when we pray, we're going to be discouraged and give up. Because we won't understand why prayer is so hard otherwise. And we'll think it's just us. Perhaps you do. Perhaps you think it's just me. I can't pray. It seems so hard. No, we're all in the same boat. Because Satan opposes us the moment we begin to pray. So notice how Paul lays it on. Pray at all times. There's a sermon on that separately, but the emphasis on keeping praying with all prayer and all supplication. Every type of way of praying we can think of. Deliberate, spontaneous, planned, public, private, secret, with confession, asking, praising. Come at it from all angles, he says, but at all costs, keep praying. And notice it's the Holy Spirit who can help us pray like this. We're not going to be able to turn it on ourselves. One of the key things we should be asking when we mean business in prayer, to use one of Michael's phrases, which is a great one, mean business in prayer. One of the key things we should be asking is for the Holy Spirit to come and enable us to really get down to prayer, because we haven't the resources in ourselves to oppose Satan, only through the Spirit. So if we mean business in prayer, we must ask for the Spirit to help us to pray. And I would like to illustrate again this business of praying, opposing the enemy, with illustrations from the clubhouse at two levels. As the team of us who've been involved in the clubhouse for a number of years have experienced the problems, we've realized that Satan has got a grip on the area in a very general sense. Now, that is true of the world. Satan is the prince of this world. And wherever you work, Satan has a grip. But, as the slides pointed out, and as Colin mentioned, there are tangible problems at the club and in the area, just around this parish. There's the boredom and the frustration, which leads to aggression and hatred. There are the impersonal bureaucratic forces that have worn down people's hope and patience. And family rows or TV fantasy have poisoned and stunted the imagination and the longing for a better way of life. And there is a sort of cloud of indifference and apathy. People don't seem to be bothered very much with anything, let alone God. We've often come to the church and said, please pray for us. It's often been after a night at the club when there's been vandalism or a particular outburst of aggression and a situation which has really depressed us emotionally because we've had to wrestle with such aggression and hatred. It's taken time, but God has amazingly answered many urgent prayers at the prayer gathering of this church. One reason I put in the Old Testament lesson from Daniel was that between Daniel getting down and meaning business with God in prayer, and the angel coming and saying, Daniel, your prayer is answered. There was a time lag. In this case, it was only 3 weeks. And the angel explained that in between Daniel really praying and the angel coming and answering, there had been a spiritual conflict in the heavenly realms. That's just a little picture, it seems to me, about something that is going on when we pray. Another reason why prayer can take time to be answered. And I believe that the spiritual conflict that has raged over the clubhouse has taken time for God to answer. But a lot of his answers are rooted in the united prayers of our prayer gathering here and the club community. So we can honestly say that we've experienced great progress. School dropouts who've become responsible club members. Aggressive individuals who've learned to give friendship and to receive friendship. A remarkable dropping in the graffiti that used to break out every time we turned our backs. And very little vandalism at the moment. Again, when once we turned our backs, the till or the counter area was always vulnerable and somebody would be there or something else would disappear. There seems to be now a sense of respect for property and very little stealing like that. We had a party for our old people just last week. Some of the children who were entertaining the old folk in the party, I can picture their brothers and sisters, their older brothers and sisters, who would have been the sort a few years ago to be dropping fireworks through the doors of the old people in their flats and generally terrorizing them. There's been a remarkable turnaround in attitude. And of course, during this time, we can confidently say that hundreds of young people and adults have heard in one degree or another the Christian gospel and talked about it and discussed it. God has done a lot, and prayer has been crucial. But as we've gone on, we've become aware that there is an even deeper level where urgent prayer is needed to break people's spiritual blindness. You see, there is all the difference between being affected in a general sense by an awareness of God in Christian helpers and in an atmosphere, and responding to God yourself. In fact, there may even be people in this congregation who are affected by the atmosphere, know God is here, but have never responded to God personally. Well, we certainly have many like that in the club. And there seems to be a blindfold over everybody's eyes until they become a Christian. And the blindfold in the club area, as in other inner city areas, as in the mission field, as in any society where Christian values have not been upheld, the blindfold is particularly thick, particularly dense. Satan has blinded men's spiritual eyes. The heavens declare the glory of God, but very few inner city children ever bother to look up between the skyscrapers and the tall buildings to glimpse the heavens. They're more likely to have their eyes on the ground looking for a bit of money. The earth reveals his handiwork. There's not very much earth to see the handiwork of God in West One. God is a heavenly Father. I wonder if he gets drunk at weekends. Go into your room and pray and step over your brother and his girlfriend. In other words, when we begin to talk basic Christian truth, it seems there are so many barriers before it can become possible in the life of an individual's experience surrounded by these sort of pressures. But nevertheless, we believe as New Testament Christians that God is able to break these barriers and tear this blindfold away. We're not simplistic about it. We know that God uses means. He's the God of process. But prayer is one of the means whereby he takes this blindfold away. Prayer is part of the process whereby God gets his gospel across to those who just don't see it. And that's true for all of us who are trying to reach our friends. Only prayer, in the end, will bring them to the point of seeing. We are taking on Satan when we pray for our friends, when we pray for the mission field, when we pray for our places of work, when we pray for the clubhouse, when we pray for the inner city. We're taking on Satan. We're opposing him. And we're asking God to knock, knock, knock away at that barrier until the light begins to shine through in the darkness. On Tuesday at the prayer gathering, I'll be sharing more of this with the church. Meanwhile, I conclude with this honest sharing that I think this is where we have got to in our particular area of inner city work in the clubhouse. We've got to steel ourselves to take on the challenge of praying for the spiritual blindfold to be removed from individuals, especially those who've begun to follow Christ, but got dragged down again by the pressures around them. Most of us are frightened of the new challenge. I am. I'm reluctant. I'm afraid of what it will cost. That's why we need a congregation behind us, why we need the unity of a church. And that's why this church is vital in praying not only for the club, but for our missionaries. And for the whole of this country, a united praying body can do so much to bring light to the darkness. But it's hard, and Satan's going to try and stop us. We must fight. Let's pray. Forgive us, Father, that we grow woolly and clouded in our own thinking. Something of this spiritual blindness very quickly creeps around us again. And even if we keep going ourselves, we confess to you that we frequently fail to take on the battle for others. We pray for one another to have fresh grace to pray in the power of the Spirit at all times with perseverance, determined to see you work. And we pray to become people who believe that our prayers can be the means whereby you shine through and touch others and reveal your glory in the face of Jesus. Help us as we wrestle to come to this point of faith, and help us as we wrestle to put our faith into practice. In Christ's name, Amen.